Right, good morning. Again, Happy New Year. Did you guys, anybody stay up for the countdown? I think most of us who have younger kids are like, no. 9 o'clock and we're out, right? I actually stayed up and watched a little bit of the festivities and interested to kind of watch how different networks were kind of doing their montages, and they do their yearly, you know, reviews, and then they talk about people that we've lost in 2016 and different events and experiences, and that's always kind of interesting and fun. And it's interesting for me just to kind of watch and kind of learn how our culture processes what's going on in the world. And so I think it's a very interesting time for us to kind of reflect on what's happening in our culture, in our country, in our society. And certainly that's something that we often do as people when we come to the new year, is that we begin to think about our past year and what is ahead. And I think this morning, I'm hoping that as we're launching into a new sermon series, that this will actually be a good way for us to think through what has happened in the past year and then to look forward. So before we do that, I want to open us up in prayer, and then we'll continue to worship as we kind of think through God's word. Lord God, thank you indeed for this new year. Thank you for all the joys and even the disappointments. Thank you for the good and the bad. We know that in all of it, you are sovereign. And God, I pray that as we consider what the Psalms have to say to us, not just this morning, but throughout this year, I pray, God, that you would help us to remember that you are in control and that you are faithful to us. And so, God, I pray that as we now think through the book of Psalms, you would give us the right words to praise you and exalt you, because you are indeed worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. So the past year, 2016, for us as a church, I'm thinking back through, we actually finished our sermon series through the Gospel of Mark. And so that started about 2 years ago. It took us almost a year and a half to get through the Gospel of Mark. And so that was challenging and exciting, I think. And then we also finished 1 John and 2 John, because one of the things that is close to our heart as a ministry is the importance of God's Word, and not just kind of cherry-picking different passages and kind of jumping from here and there to look at what God has to say maybe about a certain situation or a topic, but really to go through the entire Word of God and to know exactly what He has for us and what He wants us to know. And so it's important for us to go through word for word and verse by verse the Scriptures and what God has to say. And so this morning we are starting a new sermon series through the book of Psalms. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, the book of Psalms has 150 chapters. It's 2,461 verses and over 40,000 words. But we are not actually going to go through every psalm in this particular sermon series. I'm going to try and take about 17 or 18 along with Pastor Casey. We're going to work through about 17 or 18 of these psalms and look through the different themes and characteristics of the psalms. And I imagine that we'll probably come back to different psalms throughout the years, and we'll kind of take them as they come. But I think if we kind of went through all 150 in the next however 3 or 4 years that it would take us to do that, it would just be too much for us. And so we'll break it up, and we'll look at about 17 or 18 of these psalms in the next couple weeks and months. And so I'm hoping that that will be a good way for us to consider this counsel of God's Word. I've titled this message, A Psalm for Every Season, because as we look at the psalms, it's not just poetry and it's not just works of art, but really they reflect the human experience and the range of human emotions. Everything that happens to the psalmists are things that happen to us in our lives. And so when we come to the end of a year and we start a new year, we are prone to think about what happened in the past year. We're prone to think about what's going to happen in the new year. And for most of us, we begin to make resolutions. We look for changes. That's what resolutions are. We think about what happened in the past year, we look forward to the new year, and we say, what do I want to change about myself? What are some things that need to be transformed or made new? Or what things do I need to kind of shift around or adjust in my life? Those are changes that we're looking forward to. And those changes aren't necessarily bad. But if they're not centered on the Word of God and not centered on what God has for us, then it's going to fall short every single time. Because the truth of the matter is that God's plan of transformation is the only plan that is going to make sense for us. You see, God, who is our Creator, has a plan to transform us into the likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ. And if we're just simply about making resolutions that are going to be for our own good, devoid of what God's Word has to say for us, we're going to fall short in what our lives really ought to be and really what they ought to mean. And so as we look at the Psalms in the next couple weeks, my hope is that we're going to see the experiences of the psalmists mirrored in our own experiences. And even as we think through 2016, we'll see a lot of those experiences reflected in the Psalms. And so what we do know about the Psalms is that it is poetry, and it is impressively poetic. The word psalmos in the Greek, where we get our word psalms in the English, is transliterated from the Hebrew word mizmor. And that word mizmor in Hebrew literally means a song that is to be sung with instruments. And so these psalms, all 150 of them, it's not just poetry. They're songs, and they're meant to be sung. And so that is what the Hebrew people, that's what the Jewish people would do. They would sing these songs as worship to God. Actually, the title for Psalms in the Hebrew Bible is Tehillim, or Sefer Tehillim, which means Book of Praises. These are words and works that are meant to be sung to God as an act of worship. They were used in public worship. They were used in corporate worship. And so when the Jewish people got together and they praised God, they would sing these psalms. And so, as Lamont has already done this morning, I want us every week, actually, as we are in this sermon series, to stand together and to recite a psalm, maybe in some sort of responsive way, but as an act of worship, because these psalms were meant for that. They were meant for corporate worship. And so this morning, we've already done Psalm 136, but I want us to read through Psalm 148, and you should see it on the screen. But this psalm will be a good kind of synopsis for all of the psalms, a good way to kind of encapsulate the heart of the psalms, Psalm 148. So let's stand together. This will be an act of worship for us. It's much smaller than I anticipated, but hopefully you guys can see. I'll read the gray parts, and if you need a little help, grab a Bible in front of you, turn to Psalm 148. I'll read the gray parts, and then you will respond in the gold parts, and then we'll read verse 14 together. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights.
Praise Him, all the kingdoms. Praise Him, all the hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all the shining stars.
Praise Him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling His word. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children. He has raised up a horn for His people. Praise for all His saints, for the people of Israel who are near to Him. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. What I love about this psalm, Psalm 148, is that it is a call to worship. Not just for God's people, but everything and everyone. It starts by calling the heavens and the angels to praise the Lord. And then He moves to talking about the sun and the moon and the stars and then the earth and all the creatures and all the elements and then the hills and the mountains and living things and finally every living person from the kings to the young and the old, every man, woman, and child. The psalmist is calling forth praise from everything that has been created towards God. And again, in many ways, this psalm kind of captures the heart of the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is a call to worship from God's people. It's an invitation for us to declare the greatness and the grandeur of our God. And so these psalms are indeed songs of worship. They are lyrical praises that reflect the worthiness of our King and our Lord. And as you read the psalms, often I think sometimes we believe that our worship should kind of spring forth from this place where we're excited or happy. We often kind of sing praises when we're in good place, right? When God is doing something on our behalf, or we're getting something that we want, or you can think back to maybe Christmas and you watch your kids open their gift, and when they open something they wanted, they were so excited, and they maybe gave you praise or gave Santa praise if you're doing that. But when things are going well, we're prone to praise. But as you read through the Psalms, you'll notice these psalmists are praising God not always when things are going their way. They're worshiping and they're singing and they're putting words on a page that exalt God even in the midst of difficulty and pain. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But often as we think through the Psalms, at least half of the Psalms are written by King David. He is obviously a major contributor to the Psalms. We also have about a dozen or 15 Psalms that are written by Asaph. Asaph was appointed by David as a worship leader. That's probably what the term that we would use. But he was the choir director for the Israelites. You'll find his role kind of outlined in 1 Chronicles 16. He was a musician, and so he probably led the people of God, the chosen people of God, in worship. And Asaph wrote about a dozen of these psalms. We also have psalms that are written by the Korahites, or the sons of Korah. These were also musicians that were appointed by King David. And their responsibility was actually to stand at the temple. They were gatekeepers at the temple. And so as people were coming into the temple, they would stand outside the temple and they would sing praises to God, and they would welcome people into the temple singing about God. And so they wrote about a dozen of these psalms. We actually have psalms that are written by Moses and also Solomon. And so you can, if you know a little bit of your Bible history, you know that these are people who have written psalms who kind of span the range of Israel's history. They're from different places and different times in Israel's history, but they all turn to worship God, regardless of who they were, what their experiences were, and what time they were living in. What we know from the Psalms is that they are a major part of the Jewish worship, but they also are a major part of New Testament church worship. In the New Testament, there are 238 direct quotations from the Old Testament. In other words, as you read through the New Testament, you'll find that the authors in the New Testament directly quote the Old Testament 238 times. And of those 238 times, 116 of those times are taken from the Psalms. That's a little over 40%. In fact, Jesus himself quotes from Psalms more than any other Old Testament book. That reveals and reflects Jesus' proficiency and knowledge of the Psalms. He was intimately aware of the book of Psalms, and how to praise God using the Psalms. And so what excites me about this sermon series is that we can look at New Testament, Old Testament, we can look at church history and find that the Psalms are the praises for God's people. They are songs for us to sing to God. These are words of worship that we can use to honor the Lord. And so as we think through about 17 or 18 of these psalms in the next few weeks, my hope is that we would turn and look at the experiences and the encounters and the events of our lives and recognize that whatever we're going through, and as we look back at this past year, whatever we've been through, really our right posture and our right position is to worship God. You see, we do find, in fact, the psalms are songs for every season of life because they come from every experience. So think through a little bit this past year. Think about 2016 for you. Think about how 2016 has impacted you personally and maybe as your family, our nation, and even our church. Some of you may have experienced a great deal of success. And you could turn to Psalm 21 and see where David achieves a lot of success, and in the end, he turns and he praises God. Some of us might have experienced failure. We could turn to Psalm 73 and recognize that even in failure, God encourages us and strengthens us. Maybe we've dealt with fear and anxiety, uncertainty. Psalm 27 reminds us that our fear is washed away in the presence of our King. Many of us have experienced a lot of joy personally, and maybe even as a church we've experienced a lot of joy. Psalm 95 gives us words on how to express that joy. Some of us maybe have received some bad news and some really sad news. Psalm 88 paints this picture of darkness, what it really means, what it really feels like to be in the pit. And on the other hand, some of us have received really good news. Psalm 145 shows us how to delight and celebrate in joyful news. Some of us have lost jobs or changed jobs or started new jobs. And there's a psalm that gives us words for those emotions and those events. Some of us have lost loved ones, or we've welcomed a new baby. There's psalms that give us words for that emotion and for those events. On a more national scale, two stories that seem to dominate 2016 were the presidential election and a lot of the shootings that happened. There are psalms that give us a right and healthy perspective regardless of where we stand on these issues. As a church, we're continuing to grow, and we welcome Casey and his family, and that was exciting. At the same time, Reverend Lee moved on to a new ministry. There are psalms that give us language for how we are experiencing sort of these ups and downs, these peaks and valleys. You see, the more time that we spend in the Psalms, the more we're going to find that every life experience that we have is reflected in the Psalms, and it gives us a way for us to turn to the Lord and to praise Him. And so we're going to break up the Psalms into about six categories. There are many different ways that people have tried to break up the Psalms, and hopefully these six categories are going to be helpful for us and helpful for you as you go through the different Psalms. And my encouragement to you is, as we're going through the series and as you're going forth in this year, read through the Psalms. That's going to be an action step that I'm going to make later on, but make a plan to read through every Psalm. And as you're reading through these Psalms, try and categorize them in maybe the ways that we're going to categorize them. There's six ways that we're going to try and categorize them. There's the Psalms of Lament, Psalms of Praise, Psalms of Thanksgiving, Kingship or Royalty Psalms, Psalms of Confidence and Trust, and then Psalms of Wisdom. So those six categories: Lament, Praise, Thanksgiving, Kingship, Confidence, and Wisdom. Psalms of Lament basically make up the majority of the Psalms. These are Psalms basically of mourning and complaining. And again, you might think, well, the Psalms are these songs of worship and praise, but the majority of the Psalms are actually coming from a place of complaining and distress. We're going to look at about four of those Psalms of Lament. We also have Psalms of Praise. Obviously, those are just purely worshiping God. We'll look at three of those Psalms. Psalms of Thanksgiving. They express gratitude, and they worship God out of thanksgiving. And so we'll look at two of those Psalms. Kingship or Royalty Psalms are Psalms that exalt the Lord as King, and they reflect on the Davidic covenant and really the culmination of that promise that's found in the Lord Jesus. Those are kingship psalms that we'll study. There's two of those that we'll study. The Psalms of Confidence are ones that emphasize the author's trust and confidence in God. There's four of those psalms that we'll study. And then finally, the Psalms of Wisdom are the more instructive or psalms that have a teaching element to them. We'll look at two of those starting next week, and they center on the Word of God and His commands for the righteousness of His people. And so as we work through these six categories, we're going to find that our lives can kind of be categorized in one of those six areas. We can find that our lives and our experiences, whatever we're going through, the peaks and the valleys, the good news and the bad news, the joys and the fears, the anxiety, the successes and the failures, all of that is reflected in the Psalms. But it's more than just a song for our soul. Ultimately, the Psalms turn our hearts to God. Every single one of the Psalms turns us to praise God. That is the one theme that is threaded throughout every single psalm. Regardless of what happens, regardless of what happened in the psalmist's lives, regardless of what happened in your life in 2016, and regardless of what's going to happen in 2017, God is worthy of praise. And that's what these psalms teach us. This is what it helps us to understand, that God is worthy of praise regardless of what happens, and he is faithful and he is good. So much of these psalms we know, so much of the Bible we know centers on who God is. But the more that you read the Psalms, you'll find that it's concentrated in poetic and artistic fashion, the facets and qualities of God. You see, as you go through these different experiences, you'll find that God is faithful in every one of these circumstances and situations because of who he is. And so these psalms don't just reflect human experience and human emotion, but they reveal to us the character of God. And so in Psalm 8 and in Psalm 139, we see a very creative God. In Psalm 136, as we read this morning, we see that our God's love for us is faithful and enduring and never ending. In Psalm 145, we recognize that God is gracious and merciful to us. We know that he gives us favor and kindness in Psalm 106. We know that our God is a perfect judge, and he provides justice, and reflects that in Psalm chapter 7. We know that he's an all-powerful God in Psalm 68. We know that God is fully in control in Psalm 18. Psalm 29 reminds us that he has dominion over all of creation. We know that our God is our deliverer and our redeemer in Psalm 69 and Psalm 143. And in Psalm 111, God's faithfulness is declared over and over and over. We know that he is a forgiving God in Psalm 51 and Psalm 130. God is glorious and majestic. He is holy and intimate. He's unapproachable and yet personal. God, in all of his glory, is on display as you read through and study the Psalms. And so as you think through, as you read through, as you meditate on these Psalms, don't just find solace in what's going on with the psalmist, but recognize who your God is. The Psalms reveal the character of God in his creativity, his love, his grace, his mercy, his justice, his power, his deliverance, his sovereignty, his forgiveness, his faithfulness, his glory, his majesty, and so much more. And so I am excited that we get to study the Psalms in a more deep way, because personally, we will grow in our appreciation and love for God. And corporately, as a church, as we read and as we study these Psalms, it gives us words to praise this awesome God. So one helpful way that we can think through these Psalms, I've been reading through this devotional on the Psalms is written by Tim Keller. And in the introduction, he suggests for us three ways of looking at the Psalms, or three questions to ask. And you might want to jot this down in that margin on the other side of the bulletin. But the first is to adore God. To adore God and to ask, what did you learn about God and how can you praise him? As you're reading through any psalm, adore God. What does this psalm have to say about who God is? And then turn in praise to him. The second thing is to admit and to ask, what did you learn about yourself and how can you repent? Again, as we said, the psalms reflect every part of human experience and emotion. And so how can we turn and say, God, I recognize that this is who I am, and I fall short of who you want me to be. The third thing is this, to aspire, or to ask, what did you learn about life, and what can you aspire to, what can you act on? And so these are three ways that Tim Keller suggests for us as we read through the Psalms. Adore God. Ask, what does this psalm say about God, and how can we praise him? The second is to admit, recognize who we are, and then to repent. The third is to aspire. What does the psalm call us to do? How does it call us to act? These psalms are wonderfully rich for our individual lives and also for us collectively as a church. They're songs for our souls, and they're songs that reveal the very character and nature of our God. And so here are some ways that I want to encourage you to actively put into practice some action steps. First, if you're not a Christian, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, these psalms only find their fulfillment and their wholeness if you have life in Christ. And so you can read through these psalms and you can find where your life is reflected and what's going on, and you can find the character of God. But there is no fullness to what is going on as you're reading these psalms unless you have a relationship with God. And relationship with God only comes through Christ. So my encouragement for you, even now, as we think through what these psalms mean to us, trust in Jesus. The only way that you have relationship with God is by finding that Jesus Christ pays the penalty for our sin and death. Turn to Him today and trust Him. Secondly, for those of us who are Christians, as I mentioned before, begin to make a plan for how you can read through all 150 of these psalms. Yes, there are some psalms that have 176 verses, and they're extremely long. But my personal plan is actually to read 3 psalms a week, and I actually choose Sunday. I start every Sunday morning by reading through 3 psalms, and with 52 Sundays in a year, that gives me about 2 Sundays of grace. So if I miss a couple psalms, or if I want to break up Psalm 119, because that's the super long one, that gives me the opportunity to break it up. But that might be a way for you to read through the psalms in a year. 3 psalms a week, or 3 psalms on a Sunday. That's how I prepare my heart for worship. A third action step is to reflect on what God has been doing in your life. Probably some of you have already done that New Year's Eve, or maybe you'll do that later today. Think through some resolutions. But regardless of what's gone on in your life, regardless of maybe the good things and the bad things, begin to search through the Psalms. My hope is that in kind of this introductory message, that your interest in the Psalms has peaked a little bit even more. That your desire to look through and search through God's Word in the book of Psalms is heightened. Because indeed, whatever is happening, whatever is going to happen, we have words for that in the Psalms. So think through, reflect on what's happened, and look forward to what's going to happen. And search the Psalms for how you can honor and praise the Lord through all of it. A fourth action step, this is not one for everyone, because not all of you are musical. I know that. But if you are musical, take these Psalms, because they are meant to be sung, and put music to them. Some of you might be very able to write a song and put these Psalms into a song. Or maybe you find an instrumental track and just start singing the words of these psalms over that track. Now, I admit that takes a little bit of maybe courage, especially if you have family members around or if you have other people who you don't really want to disturb. But this is an action step that we can take as Christians. This is a way for us to worship God and actually to take literally the psalms, which are songs to be sung, and to do it. So actually, I said it's not for everyone, but can I suggest that all of you try that? I will try that this week. Put these psalms to song. Maybe write them down on a piece of paper and tape them up on your mirror, and as you're just getting ready or you're jumping in the shower, just sing those words and just make up a melody and praise the Lord. That is an action step. And the last action step is for us to keep praying for 5 people who don't know Jesus Christ. This is something that we've been doing for 2 years now. Is to think through the people who God has placed in our lives who don't know Jesus. The great thing about the Psalms is that they're so accessible. You can turn to a psalm, and whoever is reading the psalm can find a way to connect to it. Because again, the Psalms reflect our human experience. Maybe the Psalms are a way for you to share with a non-Christian friend or coworker or neighbor or family member the hope and joy that is found in God. And so continue to pray for those five people in your life and maybe even turn them to the Psalms. So I hope that through this sermon series, our personal and collective worship grows as the people of God. That we are enriched as we study the Psalms. My prayer for us is that the God of glory will fill our hearts with praise as we journey through these songs of worship. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for your perfect wisdom that has gifted us with the book of Psalms. And God, even though we didn't necessarily study a specific psalm this morning, I pray that you would have stirred our hearts to the heart of what the Psalms are for us. And so, Lord, I pray that even today and in the coming weeks, we would worship you and adore you and praise you, regardless of what's happened in 2016 and regardless of what's going to happen in 2017. Lord Jesus, we know that you walked this earth, that you experienced every part of humanity and what it means to be human. We know that your life fulfills the Psalms. And so, God, I pray, help us to turn to you in praise and worship, particularly using these Psalms as our foundation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.